than this, from the war in Ukraine to what's happening in Israel to Egypt to possibly secretly wanting to produce rockets for Russia, a U.S. ally, Egypt, as is Israel. James Bamford, longtime investigative journalist and author, his most recent book is titled Spyfell, Foreign Spies, Moles, Saboteurs, and the Collapse of America's Counterintelligence. By the way, a happy belated birthday to David Prude. Stay tuned to part two at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman.
When I first came to Brookhaven town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way, hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned on the dial. Way, hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile. Way, hey, 90.1. I waited for a legal ID. Way, hey, 90.1. The DJ said WUSB. Way, hey, 90.1. They start each day with the rising sun. Way, hey, 90.1. Don't ever finish till after day is done. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you want good music to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you like the sounds, do take a look. Way, hey, 90.1. At WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, and also over the internet at WUSB.FM. And if you're interested in hearing the second part of that Democracy Now! Show, you have to go to democracynow.org to hear it online, as it's 6 o'clock here, and time for the program Off the Wall. Thank you. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah, I'm right here.
And we're here with you for the next hour, talking about various things that have been going on. And, wow, I am just so completely blown away by the events of last week. A week ago, on this show, we talked about a story that was getting very little coverage, namely what was going on in Tennessee, where three representatives faced expulsion for daring to try and have their voices heard after being continually shut down on the issue of gun control, doing something sane to stop mass shootings like the kind that happened in Nashville a couple of weeks ago. And boy, did that story blow up. Because on Thursday, that is exactly what happened. There was a vote in that body to expel the three representatives for daring to do what they did. And I watched the whole thing. Fortunately, we live in an era where we can do that. It's kind of like having a C-SPAN for every state. That's my dream, is to have a C-SPAN for every single state where you just click on the state you want to watch or the body that you want to be monitoring as far as what they're passing, what they're debating. And I was able to find everything going on in that particular body at that time. And it was so, so riveting. 10 hours of just back and forth and eventual votes. Now, no doubt you've heard about what happened there since. You know that the two black representatives were kicked out. The white representative was not, even though they did the same thing. But the first person to say that it was a racial issue was the white representative who survived the vote. Her name, Gloria Johnson. The other two representatives, Justin Pearson and Justin Jones. And I have to say, rarely have I been so disgusted and dismayed while also feeling so inspired and motivated by the same thing, by the same actions that were happening. Watching that process unfold, you know, it filled me with anger, but it also filled me with such inspiration because I saw these three people with such incredible leaders, filled with integrity, so well-spoken, so strong. And I realized also, these people were elected by the people of Tennessee. Now, of course, Republicans have a supermajority in Tennessee, which means they can do whatever they want. And part of what they do is silence those people who disagree with them. So what we learned watching that 10-hour session was that this was unusual, where people actually were allowed to speak and debate and go back and forth. Because usually what happens is the minority voice, whether you want to call it Democratic or black, that voice is silenced. That voice is cut off. The microphones literally are turned off, and they have no ability to speak. So faced with that, it's quite understandable why somebody would walk to the front without permission and try to be heard. It's completely understandable. In fact, to me, it's an obligation. You know, if you're elected to represent people and there are those in that body who are preventing you from speaking. It's your obligation to be heard. And they did their job. They did what they were supposed to do. Now, this has been as it should have been. This was a much more important story than where Trump's motorcade was. Now this story is the front page. Now the story is the first item. Now we're paying attention. But this is only one place. This is only one part of the country. I didn't think Tennessee would be the inspiration for the rest of us, but it is. And it just goes to show that you never know where it's going to come from. You never know where the next amazing leaders, where the next people having enough and standing up to the crap, you don't know where that's going to come from next. So I was very proud to see what came out of that.
They defended themselves so, gloriously. It was just amazing compared to the kind of critiques they were accused of behavior that shouldn't be there, or some technical thing based on time or when some session was in or out, or whether they were walking to or from. That in the middle of that was language around them using amplification, which there's a microphone in that very well,
which they turned off,
which they had been, it has been cut, so they had a small amplification device. But even with the amplification device, they were accused of yelling. And I was looking through resources that they distribute for emergency plans, and because I didn't grow up with the kind of training I think a lot of the grade school kids get. And if you look at active shooter situations, if you're in the last step confronting, the guide says yell. They're doing as voted leaders voted in of this generation that grew up with this kind of training. They're doing precisely what you do when you confront mass shootings. It's yell. And
oh
so
my God, that's brilliant.
I found that just kind of a beautiful irony there.
Kyle, but the parallel there, because what they are doing is they are confronting mass shooting in the legislative forum, because those people are enabling the next mass shooter. They're supporting it. So by doing what you just described, they're acting like those school kids. They're confronting. They're fighting. They're doing all those steps, and they are so important. Wow, I never thought of that, but that's an incredible parallel.
Yeah, those are just some things that in some like mailer, but it was like this huge deep parallel. Hearing their voices and their resistance to the status quo so eloquently, but not even, I mean, regardless, they're just making the sentiment clear. No matter delivery, I mean, you could critique that, their rhetorical skills or whatever. They're young members. What do you expect? They're going to talk as best they can describe the situation, but that isn't what is really the point of being of what needs scrutiny in the situation, in the context, and given the echoes in the background, you could hear people chanting
outside. Yeah.
Again, while they're being redressed by this house and in Tennessee, it was an amazing real time on the edge of your seat ride through how institutional racism manifests itself, what it looks like, and how it's probably in the future going to continuously be confronted.
I want to play an excerpt from that particular day.
Sure.
last Thursday, because what I got out of that, as you mentioned, the youth of the representatives, Justin Pearson, Justin Jones, are so young. They're in their 20s, I believe. Yet so well-spoken, so educated, so able to take on the nonsense that is thrown at them without losing their cool and just maintaining such dignity. And, of course, Gloria Johnson, also so admirable, such a good speaker. She's a school teacher. She's experienced what exactly is being talked about as far as preparing for school shootings and trying to reassure kids when there's really no way you can. To see their unity was it was so emotional for me just to see the people coming together, the kids outside, and just all the Tennesseans that had enough. And it was not a good day for the Republicans. Let me just put it that way. What I'd like to play right now is a moment where the third representative, the vote had already taken place for Justin Jones. He was expelled from the Tennessee House. And for Gloria Johnson, she was not expelled. Now, what the Republicans are saying is it's because she didn't speak directly into the bullhorn or megaphone, whatever it is they had. And the other two, it's a ridiculous distinction. She said it best, saying it's because of the color of my skin that I did not get punished in the same way. So she was able to avoid expulsion. Justin Jones had already been expelled. And now it was the turn of Justin Pearson, who was defending himself in front of the House, confronted by the sponsor of the bill to expel him, this guy named Andrew Farmer. And I want you to listen to just the tone of Andrew Farmer's voice, the hatred that you hear in that voice. But believe me, if you watch the video, and the video is available on YouTube, all 10 hours, you will see it in his eyes. You will see his teeth baring. You will just see the utter contempt and hatred from this person and realize that is the world that so many in Tennessee have been living under. And last week, we saw some cracks. We saw some promise. Let's listen to a few minutes of this.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, as I'm listening, I'm thinking to myself, you don't understand. You don't truly understand why you're staying there today. You don't truly understand why I authored that resolution. It wasn't an easy thing for me to do, but I'm hearing you blame this on your youth. But just because you don't get your way and you grab a couple friends doesn't mean you can come to the well while we're conducting business in session. Other members are waiting to have their bills be heard. They have constituents too, 60, 70,000 times another 80, millions of people. Just because you don't get your way, you can't come to the well, bring your friends, and throw a temper tantrum with an adolescent bullhorn. It doesn't give you the right to enrage folks that are here to watch this body conduct business and talk about things you know good and well that we've worked hard. We've worked very hard to protect our children here in the state of Tennessee. Very hard. You know what? And what you could do, you could maybe file a piece of legislation that maybe you'd do that instead of sitting back and criticizing folks that's worked really hard for the past decade to do so. That might be a place to start. But certainly don't start by commandeering the well while we're conducting business here in this Tennessee General Assembly. That's why you're standing there, because of that temper tantrum that day, for that yearning to have attention. That's what you wanted. Well, you're getting it now. So I just advise you, if you want to conduct business in this house, file a bill. Be recognized, stand there and present it, and pass it. All you got to do is pass the bill.
Representative Pearson.
Now, you all heard that. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? We're not talking about politics. We're not talking about even gun violence. How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? The reason that I believe the sponsor of this legislation, of this resolution, spoke that way is because he's comfortable doing it. Because there's a decorum that allows it. There's a decorum that allows you to belittle people. We didn't belittle nobody. What we said was that we cannot be beholden to gun lobbyists, to the NRA. We can't be beholden to organizations that don't want to see us make progress on gun violence. We can't be beholden to folks who don't want to see us help save our communities and protect them. But there's something else I think that the sponsor of this resolution has alluded to, and there were a few things here that you said that I want to address. He called a peaceful protest a temper tantrum. Is what's happening outside these doors by Tennesseans who want to see change a temper tantrum? Is Sarah, whose son Noah was at the Covenant School, he survived, he's 5 years old, and she showed up here demanding that we do something about gun violence, is that a temper tantrum? Is elevating our voices for justice or change a temper tantrum? But there's something in the decorum of this body that makes it okay to say that folks who are exercising their First Amendment rights to speak up for the hundreds of thousands of people collectively that we represent, there's something in the decorum of this body that says it's okay to call that a temper tantrum, to call people we disagree with on the issues, to say that all they want is attention. But I'll tell you what, I don't personally want attention. What I want is attention on the issue of gun violence. But instead, we're here with a resolution you put up talking about expelling me for advocating for ending gun violence in the state of Tennessee. I'd much rather be talking with you about legislation to protect Shelby County and to protect our communities than talking about why we don't deserve to have our representation lost because we came to the well of this house saying we've got to do something. That's what I would like to be doing. And so you brought attention or tried to bring attention to me, but I want to turn the attention to the people. The people who will never be able to throw a temper tantrum for gun violence. You know, the Larry Thorns, the Catherine Kuntzes, the Mike Hills, the Cynthia Peake, the Evelyn Decouse, the Haley Scruggs, the William Kinneys, who will never have a chance to throw what you call a temper tantrum for justice, for gun reform, for the ending of gun violence. They'll never have a chance because we haven't taken our oath seriously. Because we don't take people who we disagree with seriously. We tell them, you just are throwing a temper tantrum. And again, these are the same folks who live in one of the greatest democracies, as we've been told, in the United States of America. A place and an institution, in fact, I would argue, that was built on protest. An institution that was built on people throwing temper tantrums against injustice and what they viewed as injustice. It isn't a temper tantrum to say that kids should actually go to schools that are safe. Neighborhoods shouldn't have to have thousands of police officers to be safe. We shouldn't have to worry about going to the grocery store, as in some cases going to the movie theater and someone coming with an assault rifle and killing us. That's not throwing a temper tantrum, sponsor. That's just asking for us to do right. You said something else. You said you don't understand why you're here. I promise you, I fully understand why I am here. I am here because the people in District 86 brought me here. I'm here because the people in District 86 asked that we might fight for justice against the status quo here. I'm here because we are subversive to the status quo. One that is young, one that is diverse, one that calls into question the ways that we have been operating that are not working. Because if they were working, those kids would be alive. Larry would be alive. People in our communities and in our families, TJ would be alive. If the system was working the way it was supposed to, because my cousin would be alive. But that's not what's happening. And look, I wrote y'all a letter. I hand-delivered a letter to everybody. And I said, look, I take full accountability and responsibility for my actions on the House floor and that it broke decorum. I told y'all that. And I also told you that there was in no world a way that I thought that would lead to us being expelled from this house that we got elected into by our constituency. Who would have ever thought that? That for 30 seconds or less before the speaker called a recess could lead to our expulsion from the state house. That is anti-democratic. That is not right. That is not just. So yes, I still take full responsibility for my actions. I know exactly why I am here serving. I know exactly why I'm fighting for our community, why I'm fighting to continue to be in this institution to help create change. I know exactly why I'm doing that. And I know exactly why this resolution was brought forward. And I don't think it has a lot to do with the 30 seconds before the recess. I think it has to do with the issue that we were talking about. You said something else, that we are just criticizing folks instead of just setting back and criticizing folks, put forward some legislation. Well, some good legislation has been put forward, y'all. I hear representatives on our side have legislation that can lead to protecting our communities, including red flag laws and gun storage as well. And I ask that you might work to actually pass that legislation, because we are going to continue to fight for just legislation. We're going to continue to fight to ensure that more lives are not lost to the epidemic of gun violence in our communities. And so, yes, if I'm expelled from this house, I will not have the opportunity to fight for that legislation as a member. But you can believe that I will continue to fight for our communities and to fight for just legislation in the state of Tennessee. With that, if anyone has any more questions or comments.
Wow. That was Representative, ex-Representative Justin Pearson, speaking at the Tennessee House last Thursday, just prior to his vote that got him expelled from that body. And that is just such an historic address in a day that was filled with history. I was just blown away by that. By the way he was able to keep his cool after that vicious, demeaning attack by Andrew Farmer that was directed at him, saying he was throwing a temper tantrum, saying that it's simple, it's just easy, all you have to do is get a bill passed, as if it were that easy. The whole point is that it's not at all possible the way they have it set up. You can't even speak, they'll turn off your microphone. And this guy actually thinks that, oh yeah, all you have to do is get a bill passed, and that's it. What are you complaining about? You know, I thought this kind of attitude had long since vanished, but no, it's there in abundance in Tennessee, and the whole world got to see it last Thursday.
Seriously, the example they're putting forth just, it reeks of such recent milestones and the outrage and just insult that it was to so many that were there immediately, but also that are even now hearing about it on this program for the first time. You know, this has happened and people are quite familiar with it, and our country has been grappling with it. Maybe hasn't fully resolved to clear it up, and that's why these are important stories to follow, and why we have to continue to work towards the kind of ideal we tout so often, and so I think carelessly sometimes without really doing a lot of the work.
Yeah, I what you say is so important, because there probably are people hearing this for the first time on this radio station right now. And it's no criticism of you. There's so much going on. There's so little attention drawn to this kind of thing before it blows up and becomes a huge story that it's understandable why we're not aware of these things. I didn't know it was at this level. I didn't know people were being silenced like this, as they were in the Tennessee House. In the House, where you've already been elected to represent people, not being able to speak or make any motions. Of course, people are going to finally react to that. I got to tell you, listening to that, hearing the people outside, could you hear them? The thousands of people that were out there.
The roar.
Oh, my God. I never thought that Tennessee would be the place that would inspire me so much. But this gives me hope. This tells me that change is possible. not just there, but everywhere.
That is the definition of mobilizing and being in action and supporting the people that are really truly leading and operating in your interests.
And these young people out there that are taking control, so admirable, so incredible, how they're able to handle these intolerable situations. You know, hearing both of them speak, Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, in addition to Gloria Johnson, they really kept their cool. They made excellent points. They showed the injustice that was all around them. And they should be very proud. They should be very, very proud. And an update to the story. One of the two Democrats who were expelled last week was reinstated yesterday. That was Justin Jones. In a unanimous vote by the National Metropolitan Council. See how it works? The House expelled you, and you can then go to your local governing body, which in this case was the National Metropolitan Council, to be put back into that position temporarily before the election that the governor will call, because there's now a vacancy in the House. It's crazy, and it's a complete waste of money. You know what the Republicans are going to throw at this now? That money could go to so many other valuable causes, but instead, we're kicking people out who are likely to be reelected by even more than ever, and there isn't even a period of time where they won't be at their seat because their local governing body can just reappoint them on a temporary basis. That's what happened yesterday in Nashville. National Metropolitan Council unanimously restored Representative Justin Jones to office. He told supporters outside a courthouse before the vote when they tried to bury us, they didn't realize we were seeds. Now, as I mentioned, Gloria Johnson survived her vote, so she still has her seat. That leaves Justin Pearson, who we just heard from. And he represents Memphis. So the Memphis local governing body has to reinstate him on a temporary basis for him to regain his seat. But now what he is basically telling people, he said this on Sunday, he said that, yeah, listen to this, and it does make sense when you think about it. GOP lawmakers are threatening the county officials of Memphis with funding cuts if they put him back in power. Can you believe what these people stoop to? Justin Pearson said, I would be honored to accept the appointment of the Shelby County Commission, saying this of the local body that is set to meet tomorrow to decide who will fill the empty seat until the special election is held. He told NBC News on Sunday that he intends to run in the special election triggered by his expulsion. The Memphis Democrat said he has heard that people in the state legislature and in Nashville are actually threatening our Shelby County commissioners to not reappoint me, or they're going to take away funding that's in the government's budget for projects that the mayor and others have asked for. This is what folks really have to realize. The power structure in the state of Tennessee is always wielding against the minority party and people. You could not have asked for more of a demonstration of this and the events of the last week.
So true. It just is. It's like an echo chamber of the problems and solutions just resonating, reverberating, and bouncing and reflecting back. You know, this power grab they think is going to make an example of these people turns into a different example, and it's just sloshing back and forth. Just stay active. Stay involved. You know, tell people about this. And do not underestimate the roots of our system, which is your locality and your region. Those individuals that, you know, don't get as much fame and hype on the ballot, they matter, and they're counting on you. If they go to bat for you, they're going to want your voices there just as much. So this should really apply to so many different situations.
I really hope that the things that we've been hearing tonight and the things that have been echoing throughout the country this past week inspire inspire a lot of people around the nation to run for local office, to make a difference, to be one of those voices, to stand up for change, to stand against the oppression and the silencing and the status quo. If it can happen in Tennessee, it can happen here, can happen anywhere. Wow.
That was the real chill, too, is that it could happen. It could. This set a precedent for ousting people. It goes all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Whomever is in power in any given state, if they acted like this in like a blue state, you better believe there would be an outcry.
Yeah.
It'd be like, what are you doing? And a lot of these red states are totally gerrymandering. I don't know. I don't want to get into a big political...
No,
like,
gerrymandering is an important
campaign
issue.
Campaign thing, but...
You saw how the Democratic attempt to gerrymander New York State was met last year.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, in fact, that's the reason why the House was lost, because the Democrats completely messed that up and basically, you know, were fair, quote-unquote fair, as opposed to how Republicans have done it in states throughout the country. And in Tennessee, this is a prime example. Tennessee and Wisconsin are two good examples of where gerrymandering has just gone crazy. And by the way, a very important election in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin last Tuesday went the way of liberals, which was astounding and also inspirational. But it doesn't fix the issue of gerrymandering, which basically means that no matter how many people you have supporting a different candidate, the way the map is constructed, somehow Republicans are brought in to basically tip the scales. And you wind up with maybe there's a slight advantage to Republicans, like let's say 54 to 46, but you wind up with 75% of representation versus 25%, if not greater, because that's the way gerrymandering works. I just think gerrymandering should just be done away with, period, because that is responsible for so much of this inequity. And when you have a situation like Tennessee where you have a supermajority, you basically, you can override anything the governor says. If the governor happens to be Democratic, you can silence your opponents. You can come up with all kinds of crazy laws and nobody can do anything about it, even though you don't have a good majority or even a majority at all. Yeah, there were situations where, you know, even more Democrats registered to vote still won't win the elections, even if they all turn out, because of gerrymandering. So this has to be addressed. This has to stop. This is a real problem. All right. It's 6:36, and we have something important to share with you.
Are you ready for your order?
Yes. I'll have the college radio station with the hand-picked music, fresh interviews, and let's get a side of locally grown events.
Sure thing.
Oh, you know what? Make that 24/7.
No problem. You got it.
Oh, and that doesn't come with any advertisements, does it? I'm deathly allergic.
It's actually 100% ad-free.
Perfect. How much?
It's actually free.
Free? What? How?
It's brought to you by listeners just like you.
How do I help?
You could donate by calling 631-632-6901 or by going on www.wusb.fm.
I'm going to leave a fat tip.
All right. That's awesome. Yes, it's true. It's all true. In fact, you don't even need the www. You can just type wusb.fm and donate that way. You can call 631-632-6901. And either talk to a friendly representative who picks up or leave a voicemail and have somebody call you back and take your information that way. We are in the midst of our spring radiothon, which helps keep WUSB on the air. We've been on the air since 1977, long time, and we've been able to stay on the air with the help of our listeners and bring you all kinds of alternative programming, whether it's news, whether it's music, whether it's all kinds of culture, sports, you name it. We have it here on WUSB, but it's all possible because of your support. So we can't emphasize enough the importance of calling or clicking. You know what? I'm gonna demonstrate. I'm gonna donate right now live on the air. While
no, you can't do that. Is that allowed?
I don't know. I've never done it before.
Where's the rules?
You might have to carry things a little bit, but I'm accessing the WUSB.FM website right now. And I see a big button that says click here to donate.
I don't think you're allowed. No, this has never been done.
Well, it's about to be done. This is history.
This
okay,
is first.
This show is all about history, and tonight we're making history. So
all right, do it.
I am clicking on click here to donate, and I've clicked on that, and another page comes up. It's asking for my name, my names, first name, last name. I'm just showing people how easy this is. I'm typing that in very, very quickly.
Any amount, ladies and gentlemen, people out there listening, $5, $10, $15, $25, maybe you have an extra $50 that you just found. We will accept any amount, any denomination you can put forth as a contribution. It is greatly appreciated. It is so critical. It's a vital lifeline for operations, for upkeep, and the fundamentals, the basics, the power, and all of the details behind the scenes. And we have an incredible volunteer staff and administration group helping us out, ushering things along, making sure that we continue to broadcast and that the site is up.
By the way, you need to fill in for that because as soon as
are you done?
As soon as I started typing my name, because I typed in something else in this computer, it filled all the fields in.
So you were just...
It only took me 1 second, but I'm ready for the next page.
So
now.
How many clicks? Is it like
two, three
clicks?
I filled in my name. I filled in my address. It wanted a phone number, which is, good to have.
Yeah,
in case there's an issue.
But come on, we're in a hurry.
And then my relationship to Stony Brook, I'm an alumni, I'm staff, community member, so all that. I clicked on that. Now I'm ready for the next page.
Tight, I believe, is that an option?
Oh, wait, I didn't
tight
answer
relationship.
A question. Did I not answer a question? Please answer this question. What did I not answer? Hang on a second.
Is this like a CAPTCHA? You're not a robot.
Oh, country. Really? I have to put in the country? Okay, I'll put in the country.
Well, that's important. We are in the United States.
Yeah, okay. I just figured that was assumed. I'm sorry. That's.
But if you're listening around the world, and there are a lot of people that do, you're also welcome to donate.
Would you like a thank you premium gift? Well, I'm going to say no thank you, keep up the great radio, but you can say yes, please, and then you'll be presented with a whole flurry of possibilities for the amount that you pledge.
There are new designs, all types of different products, materials, totes, mugs, beanie, a ski hat, a winter, summer, any type of apparel.
You will then be asked, what kind of a gift would you like to give? Is it a recurring monthly gift or a one-time gift? Now, if you do a recurring monthly gift, you can pick the amount. You can say $5 a month. You can say $10 a month. You can say $100 a month. You could say that. Or you can just say a one-time gift and pick your amount that way. So either one helps us out tremendously. I'm ready to go to the next page already. I didn't enter the amount that I want to pledge. I'm sorry. You can continue talking, Kyle.
No, you said you don't need me. You've cast me aside. I am no longer a part of this. But you should feel very proud of yourself and everyone out there who's doing this right along with Emmanuel. We appreciate you also donating. You especially you, the one that just chose recurring. I saw that, and we appreciate that especially. That really helps out in those in between months because we only have Spring Radiothon. In the spring, and there are a couple others during the year, but it's only during this time when we're actively asking that operators are standing by, as it were. You can donate online, you can call the number, you can do all kinds of different thank you items, but that's not the true gift. The true gift is that freeform 24/7 programming that was so eloquently described in your public service, and it's good for you. It's good for your brain, and might give you some ideas on physiological well-being. Maybe you get inspired to go hiking somewhere or embrace some concert event that you hear about through the radio station. Yeah, that's what radio does. It changes your life. It will augment your reality. Mm-hmm. Allow us to. And the key thing to help that process would be money. Yeah, I know. Money. We're talking about money. It's the money conversation right here on Off the Wall. I'm your co-host, Kyle, and I'm asking you to submit that donation of $3, and we will give you nonstop, free-form, original recipe radio in your ears.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dial now.
dial the website, dial the number, dial your frequency dial down the dial to our other frequency. Yeah, we're on 107.3.
And we're on WUSB. By the way, I finished.
Oh, you're done?
While you were in the middle of that diatribe, yeah.
All right, I blacked out.
I was transferred to a page and to my credit card information, and it's all done.
Okay.
It's simple. It's so easy. And I feel good. I feel good. I pledged an amount I could afford. I've helped WUSB and hopefully inspired other people to help as well. That's how important it is.
We really do appreciate everybody that's donating, and it's super easy.
It really is. It really is. We only have a few minutes left, so we have to get through other stories as well. You know, there's a residential brush burning that's banned. In case you, for some reason, are lighting fires in your backyard, don't do that until May 14th. Residential brush burning is banned throughout the entire state all the way to May 14th. And in fact, the ban has been in place since March 16th. I didn't even know about this. Nobody told me. I haven't been burning anything, but still. It's a high risk of brush fires in the middle of, basically in the middle of brush fire risk. So high is in the middle, low is the low, extreme is the high. All right.
And, of course, after May, you're going to get right into July. And
what happened to June?
Well, June, July, the summer heat, we don't know what the intensity is going to be like, if there's going to be any kind of moisture. It's invariably going to be a time of caution then, and there will be all kinds of fires you'll be hearing about in other parts of the country. So, yes, let's remain vigilant, and if you see any kind of brush fire like that, definitely let people know and make sure that you're careful out there.
Let's see, New York State is stockpiling 5 years worth of medical abortion drugs that some redneck judge in Texas somehow seems to have the power to ban nationwide, and that, of course, is going to be fought tooth and nail. We don't even have time to get into that right now, but it's just another example of how rights are being stripped away, and we had better wake up before it's too late. Transgender remote workers are getting new protections under revised sexual harassment rules. That's in New York, and that's, of course, in response to all the attacks that have been taking place, all the hatred that is out there in other parts of the country, and in New York as well, right around here on Long Island. A lot of bad things are going on. I want to share this story, though. This is incredible in a very bad way. There's this guy in Texas named Daniel Perry. He was found guilty last week of shooting to death a protester, a Black Lives Matter protester. And basically, the case was kind of shocking and dismaying. There was a series of texts that were released.
Yeah, there's all this Facebook, evidence that
Facebook
came
messages,
out.
Facebook messages that, yeah.
It paints a totally different picture than what the surface headline
is. Well, this is what he said to friends, basically. He said that he was going out and that he might kill a few people on my way to work. That's a quote. They are rioting outside my apartment complex.
Okay,
now,
so...
rioting as a people... You saw how the Tennessee House described standing in front and using a bullhorn. They described that as an insurrection. They described that as basically tantamount to January 6th. Ridiculous things like that. So it's entirely possible that people were simply chanting, and this guy decided they were rioting. But anyway, this premeditation here. He might kill a few people on my way to work. It's exactly what he did. Rioting outside my apartment complex. A friend responded, "Can you legally do so?" And Perry replied, "If they attack me or try to pull me out of my car, then yes." Which, I guess is correct, but that's not exactly what happened.
Well, and the I think short-sighted aspect of that is it is case by case.
Mm-hmm.
There's not just some broad, vague gray area where anytime you're driving, you can just injure other people and be in the right. Come on. I mean, for fender benders, there are investigations and so forth. So you just judging that just any old situation, you have the ability to wholesale end people's lives like that. That is a really uninformed perspective.
Mm-hmm. So what happened when he got into his car? I'm looking for the actual chain of events here. But I understand he drove through a red light and encountered a crowd of protesters. Now, if you're trying to not cause a confrontation, driving through a red light into a crowd doesn't seem like the best way to do that. But that's what he did. That's what he did. And he encountered Garrett Foster, the intersection of 4th Street and Congress Avenue. And Garrett Foster was carrying an AK-47 rifle. Now, you know, this is Texas, and that kind of thing is encouraged. It's almost mandated. So this guy had an AK-47 rifle, and he was a Black Lives Matter protester. Now, we all know that Texas, their enthusiasm for carrying guns only applies to white people and people who aren't part of any kind of protest action. So it makes perfect sense that the fact that this guy had an AK-47 is going to be used against him, not in his favor. And that the fact that the accused had a .357 revolver and used it to kill this guy, well, that's a plus, right? He was exercising his rights. Well, what about the other guy? Did he not have the right to exercise his rights? This guy comes tearing through a red light into a crowd of people? Now, Perry told police that Garrett Foster threatened him by raising the barrel of his rifle at him, so he shot him 5 times with his revolver through the window of his car before driving away. Before driving away. Now, of course, we're just listening to his testimony on that. We're taking his word that he was threatened in any way. Others refute this. And it took the jury a relatively short period of time to convict this guy. Justice is served. Well, no, not really. Not really, because as soon as this verdict was announced, Fox News went ballistic. Tucker Carlson and Kyle Rittenhouse, remember him? The murderer who killed people a couple of years ago, also protesters, caught on video, got away with it. They were demanding that this guy also get away with it. And guess what happened? The governor of Texas agreed and said, first opportunity, he's going to pardon this guy. This convicted murderer who killed somebody who was not threatening him, and the reason I'm saying it that way is because that's what the jury decided. That is a fact. He's a murderer who killed somebody without reason. He will be pardoned by the governor of Texas because Republicans are for law and order. Yeah. Every day we see what a Hippocratic statement that is. Hypocritical statement, that's what I meant to say. And this is just another example of how absurd it is.
Yeah, it's mental enough for maybe in need of a Hippocratic statement.
I don't know.
But it is it basically turns these situations into like these old West rules, and that's Governor Abbott got spooked because of right wing media, and this. Rittenhouse character.
You know, we didn't have time to mention that there was another mass shooting on Monday with an assault-style weapon, this time in Kentucky. This is an opinion piece by Dr. Jason Smith from the Courier-Journal in Louisville. It says, my team were absolute professionals. We trained for this. It's very difficult to be able to process what's going on during that time. Except the training that we do with our emergency department nurses and physicians, our surgical services, our trauma teams, the blood bank, all of that makes a huge difference in being able to save those lives because we have to act quick. But I'll be honest, caring for 3 shooting victims plus the other that came in is not an infrequent day for us, and the events surrounding this made this obviously much more difficult. But to be honest with you, we barely had to adjust our operating schedule to be able to do this. That's how frequent we are having to deal with gun violence in our community. I'll tell you personally, I'm weary. For 15 years, I've cared for victims of violence and gunshot wounds. And people say I'm tired, but I'll be candid. It's more than tired. I'm weary. There's only so many times you can walk into a room and tell someone they're not coming home tomorrow. It just breaks your heart. When you hear someone screaming, Mommy or Daddy, it just becomes too hard day in and day out to be able to do that. My team is fantastic. They're absolute professionals. They're wonderful. But sooner or later, it catches up to everybody. You just can't keep doing what we're doing because you just can't keep seeing these lives lost. You can't keep seeing all the people with these horrific injuries coming through the door without doing something to try to help. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm a doctor. I don't know what the answer is, but to everyone who helps make policy, both state and federal, I would simply ask you to do something, because doing nothing, which is what we've been doing, is not working. We have to do something, because this is just getting out of hand across our city and across this great nation. That's from Dr. Jason Smith, University of Louisville. After yet another mass shooting, this time in a bank, from someone who had been told that he was going to be let go by the bank. Someone who didn't raise any flags. Someone who bought the weapon legally. Just more indication that anybody can snap at any time. And if you give them weapons of war, they will use them. And you will never be able to see it coming. And the only way to handle these situations is to not have weapons of war in everyone's hands. Why is this so hard to understand? We're going to go out tonight with a song that basically was inspired by one of the very first school shootings in our country. Actually, you know, there have been school shootings over the centuries. Basically, that's just arguments of people shooting each other with guns. But somebody who actually came in and said, you know what, I'm going to shoot my fellow students. Yeah, was actually a girl in San Diego, who didn't like Mondays. And that's the reason. That's the only reason that she opened fire at kids in the school playground at Grover Cleveland Elementary School on January 29th, 1979. Yeah. You know, you can look around. I was looking at some statistics. It's really a grim Wikipedia search, but there were so few compared to today, school shootings. And that's why this one inspired Bob Geldof. He actually saw this on Georgia State University's campus radio station, coming across the teletype, this story of the girl who didn't like Mondays, who shot up her school. And that is how this song came to be. And that's going to do it for us tonight. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Please stay involved. Try to stay positive.
See you later.
Have a good night. And please, join me in pledging to WUSB.FM, 631-632-6901, or WUSB.FM. Pledge whatever you can afford so these voices continue. Good night.
Silicon chip inside her head, can switch to overload. Nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reason, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. The whole day down. The telex machine is kept so clean that it types to a waiting world. A mother feels so shocked, father's world is rocked, and their thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16, make their feet cheeky. Now I ain't so neat to admit defeat. They can see no reasons cut the off. No reasons, what reasons do you need?
It is 90.1 FM, Stony Brook. Yes, and you're in tune to WUSB. Yes, and this is Wizzy sitting in the spot for Mr. Finn. And, yeah, we're going to be here till about 9 o'clock.